WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. World leaders gathering for a security summit in London, vowing to support Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky after last week's contentious Oval Office visit.
The Trump administration, after Friday's confrontation, accused Zelensky of trying to prolong the war and being ungrateful for U.S. support. But Democrats claim President Trump and Vice President Vance played into Vladimir Putin's hands. In Blue State, Vermont this weekend, more than 1,000 people protesting Vance at ski resorts where the vice president was on vacation with his family.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. Israel blocking all aid to Gaza as phase one of the ceasefire expires. Hamas says it wants to move forward with phase two. Israel has some issues it opposes, including the full withdrawal of IDF troops from Gaza. At last night's Oscars, a Cinderella story about a New York sex worker and a Russian oligarch took home Best Picture, winning the Best Actress statue. Mikey Madison, who played the film's title character Honora. This is Best ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. I'm currently three episodes into the new season of Reacher, and so far, I would recommend it as a Pete pick. Actual giant Alan Ritchson has returned as the title character, kicking butt and taking names. Season three so far has more of a feel like season one, where Reacher stays true to the character, giving assistance to the underdog and those in need. Reacher season three gets a so far so good rating. Stay tuned. Spoiler alert regarding White Lotus season two. Season three of the hit HBO show is underway. White Lotus is always set at a White Lotus resort, where in episode one, we learn a murder has been committed, but don't find out who the victim is or who done it until the last episode of the season. Jennifer Coolidge was the victim in season two and says she hopes that her on-screen husband, played by John Grise, is the victim in the third season. That seems the obvious choice, but writer-creator Mike White likes to keep the audience guessing. You can catch White Lotus at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena tomorrow night at 6:30. They beat the Mavericks in Dallas 132-117, but guard Kyle Kuzma limped off the court in the first period. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, he twisted his ankle. Kept going. We were happy we didn't have to bring him back in, though.
Is that something you just got to evaluate?
Yeah, I have no idea. They don't think it's a bad one, but you don't really know until the next day.
College hoops. UW-Milwaukee with an 89-67 win over Detroit Mercy to lock up the number 3 seed in the upcoming Horizon League tournament. 11th ranked Wisconsin losing to number 8th ranked Michigan State 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard on losing to the Spartans.
And yeah, we got a lot to play for in terms of seeding and Big Ten play, NCAA tournament and beyond, but you know, this, we'll learn from this. Maybe we'll see him down the road in Indianapolis or later in March.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clements.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we hope you had a great weekend. Jane is back. We have another installment of Beyond the Cheese for you. And don't forget, this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are tracking a system that will bring some light rain late tonight through tomorrow and then heavy rain tomorrow night with rain mixing with and changing to snow on Wednesday. And there could be some accumulation, so stay tuned for updates on this one. Today, partly cloudy. We'll get to the mid-40s for a high today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, chair of the musical theater department, Mark Hansen. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, it looks like a little rain is going to kick off the month of March. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Midwest Farm Report. And I'll tell you what, you know how we always are talking about rainfall reporting. Well, the National Weather Service would love for you to become an official part of the citizen scientists all across the state that report regular rainfall. This month, it is time for their Rain Gauge Rally 2025, trying to get all of you signed up to be part of their rainfall reporting schedule. Now, if you're interested, you can go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org, WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org, or stick around. We've got some conversation with staff that are involved in that Rain Gauge Rally coming your way on a Monday. Rain is coming your way, depending on where you are in the state. Could be before 10 o'clock this morning, could be maybe into the afternoon hours. Daytime highs today expected to be 48 degrees under partly sunny skies. Winds will be out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, down to around 41 with more showers in the forecast. Rain on Tuesday, probably before noon. Highs tomorrow around 48 degrees. Wednesday, rain in the morning, then maybe some snow mixing in the afternoon. Daytime highs on Wednesday, probably sticking around 29 degrees or so, and a very windy day on the way Wednesday as well. Stu Mockraig, meteorologist, has the weather details you're looking for in about 15 minutes.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action. Systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Putting out fires in the winter is no fun, whether it's a house fire in town or a barn fire in the country. I'm Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, but new products being developed all the time to help rural and city firefighters get these fires out safely and quickly. One of the products they're using now, soy foam. Dave Garley is a chemist who helped develop soy foam from soybeans after working a lot with corn and soybeans. And he said he came across the soy foam almost by accident. He wasn't looking for it.
I used to do a lot of formulations with corn and soy. And during the research phase, some of those formulations foamed, which is terrible for the application. So I put those to the shelf. A little, not too long after, a firefighter friend of mine from Minnesota came by and was really concerned about the chemistry in the bucket because their firefighters were getting sick. Look into it. You're a chemist. So I looked into it, and that's all it took. I was like, oh, I know how to make soy foam. And that's really how it all started.
So what did you do to make soy foam? What's it all about? I mean, it's not, like I asked the question earlier, you don't put it in a blender and come up with foam. How do you get it into foam, and then how does it to be usable by fire departments?
So we're taking of the soybean after it goes to the crush facility where they take out the liquid gold, the oil. The byproduct is what they refer to as soybean meal. Mm-hmm. And that meal is going to have 52% protein. So the active ingredient to make products foam is protein. So soy inherently has a lot of existing protein. The key for the science community is how do you exfoliate that protein? How do you make it available? So what we get pretty creative with different enzymatic treatment reactions. Then we build it up with other surfactants and builders. Then we got to stabilize and preservative. At the end of the day, you can make a very functional, frothy foam.
And it's environmentally friendly. We've had other foams that have been questionable, but this is environmentally friendly.
Most definitely. So task number one was whenever we replace the existing firefighting foams in market is the PFAS, AFFFs that are getting all the negative connotation, with what? Well, box number one, whatever we replace it with has to be safe. And not only safe for our firefighters and frontline defenders, but it also has to be safe for our communities and the environments that we live our daily lives.
Now, this is also the designation of green screen certified gold. What does that mean?
Well, that's just a fancy way of saying the chemistry in that bucket is unbelievably healthy and safe. It goes through a very exhaustive test from a third party. Every ingredient is stripped right down to the manufacturer. It puts a cumulative score into it. Long story of it is, there is green screen certified platinum ratings, gold, silver, and bronze. We are the only gold rated firefighting foam in the world. That's how safe that product is. If it was to be platinum rated, I was told it would basically have to be made from holy water.
Well, we put holy water on the fires. Dave, just one guy talking about this. Also, Chris Turner at the Chippewa Valley Technical College. You've got labs that deal with this stuff, Chris, to put out fire. You're also a fireman yourself. Tell us about this product in the lab and what you found with this product.
Yeah, so what we do at the Fire Safety Center at the CBTC is we test various fire safety products, firefighting foams included, on various types of fuels at a very low flow rate, just down to 2 or even 3 gallons a minute, which is far, far lower than a regular firefighter would. But that allows us to tell the differences, the very small, fine differences, of how well the foams participate, or how they effective they are on those various types of fuels. And the soy foam is right up there with the other firefighting foams that are out there. The legacy foams that Dave spoke of that have a lot of fluorines and things, those were very good at putting out fire, but they were very bad for the environment and very bad for our health. So the new generation of foams, the fluorine-free foams like soy foam, they're all starting to be better and better, and soy foam is one of the leading ones out there.
Now, as far as what you do in the lab, what are you doing comparing other foams as well, and how does this soy foam stack up?
Well, we don't necessarily compare foams one to another, but what we do is test the foams to very specific standard tests where we have to use a specific fuel, a specific size fire, a specific flow rate. We have to flow it for a specific number of minutes and then let it sit and see if it disappears or can hold up. When you are able to pass those tests, that means you have a foam that could be marketable and could be usable by a fire department. And so, yes, the foams that I've tested, the fluorine-free foams that are out there, soy foam is on par with a lot of the other ones that are on the market today.
What does it take to get on the market today? And, of course, you've got all kinds of government agencies that have to approve something like this, the DNR and EPA and on every other alphabet you can think of. How is it faring?
Well, that is true. There's many, many tests that have to be undergone. I only do the firefighting tests, but there's corrosion tests, there's long-term holding, there's freeze-thaw cycles, there's separation, there's all sorts of different tests, some of which take, you know, up to 180 days per test. So it's a long and expensive process to get those foams to come to market. And yes, you have to make sure that they hold up as far as the amount of chemicals that are in them and if there are no, you know, harmful products and things like that. So each foam manufacturer out there has to undergo all of those steps and jump through all of those hoops in order to get their product to market.
Dave, are you satisfied? Have you got the final product on the market now, or are you still doing research to make it even better?
We're doing research to address the other markets, the Department of Defense, the FAA, the oil and gas market, the U.S. Forest Service. They all have different certifications that Chris alluded to, and we all have to go through the extensive testing to be certifiable and fit for use to get on the quality product listings.
Now, you were getting funding from Soybean Marketing Board here in Wisconsin. That has to help. This is not cheap to get product okayed by the government, is it?
No. So a shout out to all you farmers and your checkoff dollars. We started at the National United Soybean Board, and as I do work in the particular states, like the state of Wisconsin, has been tremendous support. All those funds stay in state. So the research money that we do to formulate these products, the tests that we do in Chippewa Valley Technical College, we utilize those particular funds to stay in state. The national promotional boards, we use the national monies. So it's been a very cooperative relationship, both at the national and the state level.
We're going to talk to a fire chief here in a moment. But Dave, when you make it, you've got a product. But do you make it so that it's usable, or is that something they've got to figure out at the fire department level? We know that the foam will put out fire, but does it go through a hose? Do you get it that refined?
Yeah, we get it. Well, we took direction from the firefighters what to make. I'm staying in my lane. I'm a chemist. I don't know what to make. So you give it to Chris and his professional staff, and they give us feedback of what needs to be done to the formulation to make it fit for use for a firefighter.
All right, let's find out. Jason Wiley's with the Rock Falls Fire Department, fire chief. How much of this have you used, Jason, in your time at the Rock Falls Fire Department, this soy foam?
We use it once for practice, and then we actually use it once on a structured fire, and no difference between this and our conventional foam.
So how do you use it? What has to be done on the truck to get it through the hoses? How does it actually work on site?
On our particular truck, I have an inductor behind the pump, and all I have to do is guys push a button, and we have foam on the nozzles.
How much foam will it take? Does it offset water usage? Is it in conjunction with the water? How does it work?
This goes in conjunction with water. We use it basically like a 0.5 to a 1% ratio of foam to water.
And it's not difficult to use? It comes in a 5-pound bucket and it mixed with the water? What's the process?
Yeah, it comes in a 5-gallon pail. We got a 20-gallon tank on the truck, and we just quite literally just push the button and it comes out.
So we're in Wisconsin where it can be, 25, 30 below zero weather. I know you put fires out in that kind of weather. No problems gelling up or anything like that?
I haven't used it in real cold stuff, and so I don't know that for a fact, but it should not be a problem on the truck because we've got the diesel motor keeping water warm, and we got the tank warm, so as long as water's flowing, it shouldn't freeze, so I'm not seeing a problem with that.
And it's not a problem as far as plugging up nozzles or cleaning up the truck?
No, not that I found.
You like it?
Yes.
Some frontline people when it comes to firefighting in Wisconsin. They say a big advantage of soy foam is the absence of fluorine, which has been good for putting out fires, but is bad for firefighters and the environment. But with dollars from the soybean checkoff helping create user and environmentally safer firefighting foams, the demand for this product is only going to increase. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
A new choice, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, WISS.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Badger basketball game over the weekend and also find out whether we still have a country. If we do, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Going to hear it from time to time. Rain Gauge Rally 2025. National Weather Service asking everybody in the state of Wisconsin to think about officially becoming a rainfall reporter. Now, Stu, you and I talk about it all the time. Whenever there's a weather event, try to get our talk text line folks involved. This is on a bigger scope. Maybe you can help explain why rainfall reporting in rural communities, those places far from the urban center, that information really matters when it comes to forecasting, doesn't it?
It really does, Pam. I mean, we get our rainfall measurements from airports. Where is the airport when you live out there in the back 80? We don't get a lot of reports in those areas where the population is less. There's less reporting because of that. Mm-hmm. So if you would get on the list and give your reports into the weather service, then we'd know better how we're doing as far as rain is concerned.
Yeah, they say they call it ground truth, making sure that the what they think they see on radar, for example, actually ends up on the ground. And we know how fuzzy some of that information can be. You can go to WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org and get started. It's really simple. It's whenever you've got a chance, and obviously whenever Mother Nature gives us rain. Weather, WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. And we do have some of that rain that's going to be popping up this week, huh, Stu?
Yeah, there's going to be a little chance around here, and for some, even some wintry weather. I'm looking at La Crosse, up to Black River Falls, up to Eau Claire and Hayward and Park Falls as well, all falling under a winter storm watch by 9 p.m. Tuesday until 3 p.m. Wednesday. All right, that's a couple days away. Let's see how this all works out. Low pressure is trying to strengthen out to the west. A warm front is pulling up toward Iowa, Missouri this morning. There's a little mix of some freezing rain and far southeast Iowa this morning. That's not much of a concern for us, but as that warm front approaches, temps stay mild today, and we can see a little sprinkle activity maybe further north, a few flurries yet by later today. Some of those sprinkles into the nighttime, some rain later tonight into Tuesday, especially in southeastern parts of Wisconsin, where we could see up to a quarter, maybe a half an inch, and then it will mix with and change to snow as we head into the midweek. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
The number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, Rural Mutual Insurance, is rewarding their farm policyholders for their loyalty and commitment to Wisconsin agriculture through their Farm Dividend Program. The Farm Dividend pays up to 5% back on your farm premium. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how you could qualify.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Well, the maple syrup buckets went out in the Sugar Shack this weekend, Stu. That's another sign that spring's just around the corner.
Yep, and that all works out, trying to get sap out of the woods when we get some rain and the like. That seems to bring a memory for me. Today, of course, our Compeer Financial Ag weather update is from our partly sunny skies, clouds getting a little thicker in the west, and we may see some sprinkles to the north, maybe a couple of stray snowflakes. Temps today still pushing into the upper 40s or around 50, and the south winds will be at 5 to 10. More cloudy skies, mostly cloudy, if you will, tonight, and some sprinkles, rain showers, especially in the south. Nighttime lows that drop down toward the upper 30s, maybe around 40, and the south winds at 5 to 10. Tomorrow, then, is that day more cloudy skies and some rain, maybe a little snow mixing into the north. Remember, that winter storm watch kicks off at 9 p.m. Tuesday from La Crosse and north to about 3 on Wednesday. Tomorrow, some rainfall, upper 40s for highs, mid-40s north, and by Wednesday, Pam, cloudy skies, rain, snow, that mix of activity gets colder and stronger winds.
Not to be surprised by that kind of stuff in March. Very good, Stu. Appreciate it. Stu Mucker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, we want you to be a rainfall reporter. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks? Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. World leaders gathering for a security summit in London, vowing to support Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky after last week's contentious Oval Office visit.
The Trump administration, after Friday's confrontation, accused Zelensky of trying to prolong the war and being ungrateful for U.S. support. But Democrats claim President Trump and Vice President Vance played into Vladimir Putin's hands. In Blue State, Vermont this weekend, more than 1,000 people protesting Vance at ski resorts where the vice president was on vacation with his family.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. Israel blocking all aid to Gaza as phase one of the ceasefire expires. Hamas says it wants to move forward with phase two. Israel has some issues it opposes, including the full withdrawal of IDF troops from Gaza. At last night's Oscars, a Cinderella story about a New York sex worker and a Russian oligarch took home Best Picture, winning the Best Actress statue. Mikey Madison, who played the film's title character, Honora. This is Best ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As it turns out, not everyone in Hollywood wants to be a part of a superhero movie and is willing to pass on big fat residual checks. Jeremy Allen White, star of the Emmy-winning show The Bear, has passed on the title role in DC Universe's Sergeant Rock. In a recent interview, White said he is confused at the idea that the pinnacle of an actor's career seems to be a role in a superhero film. Then again, maybe he just doesn't like to wear tights. And then there's Chris Pratt, who seems to have no problem playing superheroes as long as the check cashes. I feel you, brother. Pratt has announced that he will play Star-Lord when the character returns to the Marvel comic universe by way of Guardians of the Galaxy. Pratt is currently one of the busiest actors in Hollywood as he is starring in The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix, and you can catch him in the sci-fi film Mercy, which will be released this summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena tomorrow night at 6:30. They beat the Mavericks in Dallas 132-117, but guard Kyle Kuzma limped off the court in the first period. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, he twisted his ankle. Kept going. We were happy we didn't have to bring him back in, though.
Is that something you just kind of have to evaluate?
Yeah, I have no idea. They don't think it's a bad one, but you don't really know until the next day.
College hoops. UW-Milwaukee with an 89-67 win over Detroit Mercy to lock up the number 3 seed in the upcoming Horizon League tournament. 11th ranked Wisconsin losing to number 8th ranked Michigan State 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard on losing to the Spartans.
And yeah, we got a lot to play for in terms of seeding and Big Ten play, NCAA tournament and beyond, but this we'll learn from this. Maybe we'll see him down the road in Indianapolis or later in March.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clements.
Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and I have a fantastic guest ready to chat about the latest developments in both local and national news. Be sure to tune in and find out.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are tracking a system that will bring some light rain late tonight through tomorrow and then heavy rain tomorrow night with rain mixing with and changing to snow on Wednesday. And there could be some accumulation, so stay tuned for updates on this one. Today, partly cloudy. We'll get to the mid-40s for a high today. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you're headed to vote in New Hampshire's traditional March town meetings and need to register, bring proof of citizenship documents with you or you won't be able to vote. 20 other states have similar legislation pending. New Hampshire's HB 1569 eliminated sworn citizenship affidavits, subject to fines or imprisonment for lying, as evidence of citizenship. It now accepts only a birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers. There is no evidence of any widespread non-citizen voting in the state, and the law was immediately challenged in federal district court as unconstitutional and an unreasonable burden. President Donald Trump's recent unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting generated a rush to tighten proof of citizenship legislation around the country. Voting Rights Lab is tracking 35 proof of citizenship bills in 20 states, many based on model legislation pushed by former Trump election lawyer Cleta Mitchell and her Only Citizens Vote coalition. Just this month, proof of citizenship bills were advanced in Wyoming and Missouri. 18 other states are considering bills adding proof of citizenship requirements, and the pending SAVE Act in Congress would require it for federal elections. A 2024 study by the Brennan Center for Justice found 9% of Americans don't have ready access to their citizenship documents. We have links to the Voting Rights Lab tracker and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Green Bay now, Evo. It's really just Gutekunst and a handful of scouts.
We are learning more about the federal funds being frozen in Wisconsin and its impact on some of our agribusiness groups. Welcome back on a Monday morning, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Charity Seebecker is going to be joining us this morning with a story of how community-supported agriculture is taking a hit. They had received a signed contract for federal funding, but that funding has stopped. And in turn, a lot of the promotion efforts to really let you know more about those community-supported agriculture projects has stopped as well. Stick around. Charity's on the way with that detail. It is going to be a busy week for a lot of volunteers up in the Green Bay area. The U.S. Champion Cheese event officially starts tomorrow at the Rush Expo Center. Thursday is when they will announce the champions for that big event. And of course, for all that news, you can stay tuned right here, or better yet, follow us, MidwestFarmReport.com or Midwest Farm Report on social media. We'll keep you apprised of what's happening up in Green Bay. So today is the third day of March. Let's see, what can I tell you? Can you believe that back in 1991, that is when footage of Los Angeles police officers beating Rodney King became everybody's part of the conversation? It was really something that started L.A. riots in 1992, and it also made a lot of folks question the authority that police officers had in California. That footage of the Rodney King beating released on this day back in 1991. Some happy birthdays for you this morning. Happy birthday to actress Jessica Biel. She is 43. And Claire from Modern Family, Julia Bowen, she turns 55 years young. And now you know. We want you to know that the Rain Gauge Rally 2025 is underway. That's an effort by the National Weather Service, as well as many other weather-related groups, to try to get you involved in rainfall reporting. I know it sounds so simple, right? But in reality, that simple information that you can provide whenever rain occurs really helps with our forecasting models in the state of Wisconsin. I talked about it with our assistant state climatologist, Bridget Mason, and she really encourages you to think about being a part of the Rain Gauge Rally 2025. Mason starts off by explaining just exactly what the State Climatology Office does.
Hi, Pam. Thanks so much. So what the State Climatology Office does is help Wisconsinites understand weather and climate in our state. And so we do that by three main ways. We offer information, we help interpret that information, and we also investigate our weather and climate information that's available.
And that becomes critically important in a lot of different ways. Now, do you folks engage with the National Weather Service, or how do the two services either stand alone, stand separately, or work together?
Yeah, so we actually chat pretty informally with the National Weather Service every month. We have a little get-together on Zoom and discuss anything going on in the state and at our individual offices. And then we also email back and forth. We monitor each other's social media accounts as well, just to make sure we're on top of real-time events. And then we also, our state climatology office is able to offer the National Weather Service a historical perspective or historical context of current events going on.
Now, in case you're wondering why we're focusing so much on weather, March is really one of those transition months when a lot of farmers are getting ready, starting to think more about spring planting. You might be thinking about your garden. Can also be one of the wildest months when it comes to erratic weather. That's why the National Weather Service has launched their Rain Gauge Rally 2025. Through the month of March, we are asking citizens to stay engaged in the process, step up and become a part of the Rain Gauge Rally. That means we want you to report rainfall reports whenever they occur. Weather observations are also critically important. Bridget Mason, along with us, she is an assistant state climatologist. Tell me a little bit about how important information gained from COCORAS, which is a long phrase that stands for Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network. How does COCORAS, play a role in your information at the State Climatology Office, Bridget?
Yeah, Pam. So COCORAS data is incredibly valuable to the State Climatology Office. So Wisconsin's weather can vary a lot from place to place, and we understandably don't have official weather stations everywhere to capture those local differences. So by having volunteers measure precipitation, we get a much more detailed picture of precipitation patterns across the state, which helps us to track rain and snow and hail, which our office can then put these events into historical context.
I think that most people, Bridget, would say in this day and time, technology must take over a big part of that responsibility. And I know Wisconsin's building its MesoNet right now, but how important are the boots on the ground, our audience, the physical interaction with that weather documentation? How important is that to you?
Yeah, very, very important. So besides helping the State Climatology Office contextualize today's weather with past weather, COCORAS observations are also used by the National Weather Service, where their meteorologists look at these current localized observations every day to help set a baseline of ground truth, which helps them create accurate forecasts, which we know is so important for everyday farming activities. The National Weather Service also uses COCORAS for tracking severe weather events. They also track flood and drought monitoring and even lake effect snowfall events, since those can be quite localized. Observations are also used by local emergency managers who need accurate precipitation data to assess impacts from storms. And then also farmers, our audience of farmers, as well as water resource managers and insurance companies and many others use the data to know where and how much rain or snow or hail fell, because again, it can be so localized. So having volunteer reporters really helps fill in the gaps between official weather stations, which makes the data more complete.
Bridget Mason along with us, assistant climatologist at the Wisconsin State Climatology Office. Now, from your experience, Bridget, how difficult for the listener out there, they're saying, yeah, well, I love to do rainfall reporting. I'm always observing weather. How difficult is it to become a part of the weather reporting system?
Oh, well, actually getting involved is quite easy. So I would encourage you, if you're interested, to visit the COCORAS website. So that is www.cocorahs.org, where you will find information on how to join, where to get an official rain gauge, and how to submit observations. There's also training available to help new observers get started. If you're a little hesitant or unsure, you can definitely check out that training. And I would also encourage folks to think a little bit outside of the box in terms of where these stations can go. We would love people to have these in their own backyards, but we should also think about public spaces like schools, police or fire stations, libraries, parks, agritourism farms. And you can even consider making a sign next to this rain gauge about what this is and how it helps you so that community members can see these rain gauges and perhaps they'll think to themselves, oh, I want or need one too.
That's the goal anyhow. Thank you, Bridget. Bridget Mason is our assistant state climatologist in the Wisconsin State Climatology Office. They rely on that data that you can provide by becoming a part of the Rain Gauge Rally 2025. Get signed up today, or at least find out more, WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about base light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped 2.5 cents to 178. 40-pound block cheese was down 9.5 at 177.5. Double A butter stood still. This morning in Chicago, the April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 3 right now at 18.24. December new crop corn's down a penny at 4.54. November new crop beans up a penny at 10.30. July new crop wheat currently up a nickel at 5.75 a bushel. Speaking of cheese, don't forget, tomorrow is the beginning of the U.S. Champion Cheese event at the Rush Expo Center in Green Bay. Though it's open to the public Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, they'll make the announcement of who the champions are. You can follow it all online, uschampioncheese.org.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod, or try our bone-in seasoned catfish lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the machine shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the shed.
Fox River Drive, Appleton.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
What exactly a CSA is, how it works, and why it's a win-win for both farmers and consumers. Whether you love the idea of trying new seasonal produce or want to customize your weekly box, there's likely a CSA model that fits your needs.
It's basically like a produce subscription box. So you sign up where you can opt in at the beginning of the season with a farmer and then receive a share of the farm's produce throughout the growing season. And each CSA works a little bit differently. It depends a lot on the farm, but overall, you know, the concept is the same. And it's really a win-win because the farmer gets the payment upfront when they're paying for seeds and tools and all those like high-cost things. And then the members get a consistent supply of freshly picked produce throughout the season. So boxes go anywhere from like a spring share is like 6 weeks, and then you can get shares up to 30 weeks. So it really, you know, it's a really flexible model in some ways, and it's also really rooted in that knowing your farmer, knowing where your food is coming from.
So what are some of the different types of CSAs available then for consumers? I know it's probably changed quite a bit since it first started.
It did, yes. Yeah. So it used to be, this is still an option, but kind of a standard box or farmer's choice where a farmer, okay, what's in the field this week? I'm going to pick it. I'm going to put it in a box. And then the member picks it up or goes to a farm. And that's usually a weekly or biweekly box. And so it's kind of like a, you get what you get in your box. And that's really great for people who are really adventurous and want to try a lot of new produce. There's market shares, which have a little bit more choice. And that's kind of where you go and you shop for your produce from what's available that week. So farmers, again, go out in the field, they pick all their produce, but then they kind of set it up like either at a pickup site or at a farmer's market stand, and you can shop for your produce. And then customizable is one that's been a lot more popular over the last couple of years, and that's the option to kind of to tailor your share to your preferences. So you can swap items in and out, you can add in extras, and that's something that's been able to be a lot more popular in a large part due to technologies. So those are the main ones. Again, farms are different, so sometimes things are a little bit different based on each farm, but, you know, it's kind of big box, choose your box, or choose from a variety of produce are kind of like the three main ones.
How have the prices or the cost of CSAs changed over the years? Are there certain trends that stand out to you at all there?
Yeah, so the cost of CSA, you know, overall has remained fairly consistent. Obviously, every year prices are going up a little bit. There's, you know, sometimes small increases as prices for farm inputs have risen. But overall, we haven't seen like a huge spike right now. And one of the best parts of CSA, especially now that there's some uncertainty with future food prices and egg prices just keep rising and rising, is you pay upfront for your food. So you know exactly how much you're paying. You know exactly how much you will be paying even a few months from now. So that upfront payment, you know, again, is helpful for the farmer, but it can also be really helpful for the consumer of you buy your share now and 4 months from now, prices at the grocery store are really high, but you had already bought your food in advance. So it's a little bit more consistent there.
And there are some financial assistance programs involved with this too, correct? So let's start with like partner shares. Can you tell me a little bit more about those programs within Fair Share CSA?
So partner shares is our cost assistance program, and that's on a sliding scale model. So it provides between 25 and 75% of assistance towards the cost of a CSA, up to $350 for individuals. So it really allows folks to choose the level of assistance that works for their family. And it's a really unique program in that aside from providing financial support, we're really also, Fair Share is trying to stay out of the way and really nurture that farmer-member relationship that's such an integral part of the CSA model. So we provide financial assistance. We ensure that, you know, the farmer is getting the full price for their product because they work really hard to grow it, and also ensuring that the food is accessible for folks who have lower incomes, But aside from that, we're really just trying to build that farmer to member relationship.
How many people typically sign up for a CSA each year?
Yeah, well, so the farms in our coalition, every year we gather lots of information on trends in CSA. And so last year, the farms in our coalition, which were a little under 40 farms, sold over 6,000 shares in 2024.
So how has the recent termination of federal funding then impacted your guys' efforts to promote and support CSA farms? With so much uncertainty in the funding landscape, how important is that for CSA memberships to really support small-scale farmers and just in general?
FairShare was notified that one of our signed and contracted USD grants was terminated, and that grant was specifically for CSA promotion, making CSA accessible. And so, you know, that's a really big blow. We had a contract. We had planned this amazing project to do a lot of research into CSA, make CSA accessible, and provide a lot of resources for farmers to be able to market and reach new audiences. And so, you know, with our loss of funding, with all of these talks of funding freezes and conservation programs under question, it's a really hard time to be a farmer and just face all these uncertainties of farming is hard and federal support is important to make sure our small-scale farmers can survive. Now is a great time to show your local farmer that you care. Again, it's a busy time for costs, and so it's scary to put all this money into the farm and not know what's going to happen in 3 months. So yeah, buying locally, keeping your dollars local, buying a CSA share, all great ways to support those local farmers who are growing the food that we need to survive.
That was Tess Romansky, Communications and Development Manager for the Fair Share CSA Coalition. She added that it's more than just getting food from a farmer that you know. It's about supporting that farmer, living a healthier lifestyle, and understanding how your food is grown so that you can continue to share that knowledge with future generations. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.FM and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.FM. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
These are not good times for a lot of specialty crop producers, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A farm can be a great place to raise a family, but it can also be a dangerous place for children. Kids can learn a lot about work and responsibility, but you have to use good judgment when assigning tasks. It's best to wait if you're not certain a child is up to the task. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. The U.S. Senate Ag Committee invited representatives from the specialty crop industry to share an economic update last week, and it was not pretty. For example, here's Anna Reinwalt, a member of the Mississippi Sweet Potato Council.
Certainly, if we continue on the trajectory that we're currently on, it'll take far less than 5 years to put a vast majority of specialty crop producers out of business. They cannot afford that increase in labor wage rates in particular. We're having to eat all of that because for many of us, depending on what your specialty crop is, our markets will not bear us passing along that cost to our customers.
One reason for specialty crop producers being in a bad place is that many of them rely on migrants to help work the fields. And the present status of immigration in the U.S. is pretty chaotic. Senator Michael Bennett, a Colorado Democrat, weighs in.
There was a time when our politics was not as broken as it is around this issue.
And I guess also a reminder that this economy, especially our rural farm economy, depends on immigration and our having a functional immigration system in this country.
Tomorrow, the head of Michigan's Ag Department shares a similar scenario for specialty crop growers in the North Country. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Monday, starting at 6, we get the week's forecast from Brittany Merlot. And longtime legendary sportscaster Mark Daniels joins us to talk some hoops.
Plus, we're talking Fox City's Restaurant Week. And we welcome Captain's Walk Winery to Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Join us.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another email for federal workers with another deadline for listing on-the-job accomplishments.
Many federal employees received a second email this weekend demanding they list five tasks they completed at work last week, according to emails reviewed by ABC News. The emails give a Monday night deadline and do not address whether or not replying would lead to possible job loss. But Musk saying those who fail to respond will be fired, writing on X, the president has made it clear that this is mandatory for the executive branch.
That's ABC's Selena Wang. Israel has begun blocking all aid into Gaza again. Hamas hoping to move into phase two of the ceasefire. Israel trying to extend phase one. At the Oscars, Anora won Best Picture. Director Sean Baker pushing for more funding for smaller films like his.
I want to thank the Academy for recognizing a truly independent film. This film was made on the blood, sweat, and tears of incredible indie artists.
146 measles cases across 9 Texas counties now. This is ABC News. Wildfires burning across the Carolinas.